As part of coming back from India in 2002, we came and joined staff here and served in a variety of roles of missions pastor and church planning pastor, and first with Pastor Stewart and then with Dale, and I benefited greatly from both men's leadership. And Crossway has really birthed this vision called Praxis that carries the burden of this nation and the decline of Christianity within this nation to see a move of God and a saturation church planting happening in this nation and the nations. So it is really for me like being home here with you and being part of the family here. And so thanks for the welcome, Dale. The thing that the big idea that I want to talk to you today is this: that God has a mission, and he invites us to participate with him. It's not your mission. It's not Crossway's mission. It's not the mission of the church. It's God's mission. And there's a significant difference to think like that. That God has a mission and he is working to fulfill his mission. It's his one thing that he's working on. And we find that expressed really well. Crossway's vision statement is to see our city, our great city of Melbourne, to see our nation, the nation of Australia, and to see the nations become disciples of Jesus. And this really matches what God has spoken to us in the Great Commission. Crossway's mission is to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbour as ourselves, or to love one another. And there's a third part to that I'll come to. But those first two things come squarely from the Old Testament of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And Jesus said these two things, on these two things, all the law and the prophets hang. So if we get these two basic things, that we should love God with all our hearts and we should love one another, should love our neighbor as ourselves, or we can say it a number of different ways. We actually sum up the teachings of the Old Testament. So what makes this church a New Testament Jesus church is the third part of the mission of Crossway, which is to make disciples that multiply. And this lands us smack bang in the middle of this Jesus movement that he started a long time ago. Jesus didn't come to do away with the old. He actually came as a fulfillment of the old and to see the kingdom of God spread through the whole earth. So as we jump into this third part of the mission's focus for Crossway, as we've been listening to Dorinda and Simon, awesome people, some of my heroes, I just really enjoyed listening to some of the stories, people from Crossway that have gone into the nations. I mean, who would imagine praying with Al-Qaeda affiliates on mountains and going into cafes with Arabs in some of the most difficult and scariest places on planet Earth and seeing God's kingdom come in the hearts of people. Awesome stories. And I hope you've actually realized what you've been hearing in the last couple of weeks. Fantastic stuff. We find ourselves in engaging with Jesus' mission. And Jesus' mission was that he spoke this at the end of his mission on earth, after the resurrection and before his ascension. And the main thing that happened was that he gave this great commission to his disciples. And we need to understand the real importance of the timing of this. It's as Jesus was revealed as Lord of heaven and earth, when he was resurrected from the dead. The bedrock of our Christian faith is that Jesus rose from the dead, thereby validating that he was who he was, the Son of God. No resurrection, no Christianity. And in the midst of that, as the disciples are coming to terms with who is this Jesus, he turns around and gives them the Great Commission. And it's the same for you and I. As we start to grapple with and start, the light bulbs start to explode in our minds and we say, who is Jesus? He turns around and he commissions us. Or rather, he invites us into his mission. When he was resurrected, the women went to the grave and they met the angel there. And the angel said, "You go into Galilee. He's risen. Go tell his disciples. He'll meet them there." And they go out along a bit further and they actually meet with Jesus in the garden. And they fall at his feet and they clasp his feet. And he says, "Go tell my disciples I've risen and I'll meet them in Galilee." And this is where we kind of pick up the story as the Great Commission set in the context of this awe-inspiring, earth-shattering, eternal reality-shifting event that Jesus is risen. Matthew 28, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" And for Jesus, the end game was this, that there he was, he'd been having the masses and he'd had so many large gatherings. But the end game after his resurrection was 11 disciples. Jesus didn't confuse the masses with momentum. He actually had poured into these 11 guys and those around them for 3 years, the DNA of the kingdom of God. And now he turns around and he says, "Now I want you to go." And so let us not confuse masses with momentum. Jesus spoke of multiplication. Jesus spoke of reaching all nations of the earth. And for the early church, this was a staggering thing when he was to say things like, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He said at the end of that commission, "I am with you to the end of the age. If you go do this, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age." And basically, he gave us a sandwich. He said, "From here to here, this is my task. This is my mission. Until I come again, until the very end of the age, you are to go and make disciples of all nations. This is the task of the church. This is God's overwhelming mission. This is what he's trying to accomplish." And we can say this, that God has a mission and he has a church. And he invites the church to join him in his mission. This is the one eternal reality that God is trying to do. So the Great Commission wraps it all up. And it gives us our job description. It gives us everything that we should do. And it's not a negotiable. It's not a, we'll put that on item 5, point C. It's not a thing that we put on the agenda down in our board meetings. It's not something that we create certain people. Maybe John, you'll become the missionary and maybe we can bring this up. This was it. There was nothing else. This is the task. And the same thing here. Jesus gathers a small group of disciples. He pours into them the DNA and he gives them the one task. And the question is today, are you one of those? Are you one of these disciples? Because Jesus wants to pour into you. He wants to reveal who he is as the resurrected Son of God. And in that context, and only in that context, he says, "I want you to go." Without that revelation, without understanding who Jesus is, the Great Commission doesn't make sense. The Great Commission is hard to grasp. The Great Commission becomes a little weird. But once we understand who Jesus is, once we understand that he has all authority in heaven and earth, suddenly we go, "Yeah, I get it. I get it. You want to rule. You want to rule this place. You have a mission. You have a mission that involves all nations, all people groups. It's called the kingdom of God." Wow. So he's laid out an invitation. And as you've been listening to the stories, I'm wondering if you're hearing the invitation of God. Would you join me? Would you join me where I'm working? This week, I was talking to some of our workers in Budapest, working amongst gypsies. And they've been targeting this area called District 8. District 8 is one of the worst areas of Budapest. It's the red light district. I've prayer walked District 8 in Hungary. It's terrible. And they were there this Wednesday morning, and they met in a cafe. And they said, "Lord, we've been crying out to you. We've been asking you for this area. Would you give us a person of peace? Would you give us somebody that would be the doorway to this community?" And they cried out to God. And as they were praying in the cafe, God gave them the scripture, Psalm 103, and said, "This is my word." And in the Psalm 103, if you're familiar with it, is a beautiful psalm of God forgiving our sins and not treating us as our sins deserve. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth," the psalm says, "so great is his love towards those who fear him. He does not hold our sins against us or treat us as our sins deserve." So they went in. And they just started prayer walking this District 8. And they stood outside a kindergarten. And they started praying. And they were praying loudly. And this gypsy guy walks past them. And he walks into the kindergarten. Then he comes back out. And he just stands in front of them. And he's looking at them, you know. So Gabby, our team leader, stops praying and says, "Hi." and we're here praying, and this is a gypsy in District 8, and "I'm wondering if you could help us pray," she said. He said, "Are you Christians?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "I've got two questions for you, and if you can answer that, that's everything I need." She said, "Really? What are those questions?" He says, "Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?" She said, "Yeah, we do. We believe in the Holy Spirit." And he said, "Do you believe that God is like three in one, Father, Son?" And she said, "Yeah, we do." He says, "Wow." He says, "You know, about 15 years ago, I went to a church, and I kind of had this experience of God. But you know, I'm a musician gypsy, and alcohol and women." And all this area, that's been my life. And I couldn't walk away. But 3 days ago, I prayed. And I said, "God, if I could reconnect with you, would you give me that chance? I would love to reconnect with you." And then he's standing out there and he's talking. And Gabby says, "Well, we're here. And this is God has sent us here." And he starts to cry on the street. And he says, "How can I reconnect with God? How do I reconnect with him? And do I have to go to a church? Which church are you from?" And they said, "Oh, no. You can reconnect with God right where you are." He said, "Really? Absolutely. You mean I can pray in my own home?" "Yes, you can. Absolutely." And so they talked a bit further and he said, "Well, you know, I could even invite my friends into my home and we could read the Bible together." And they said, "Yeah, we'll tell you how to do that." He was a man of peace. Their prayers were being answered. God had been already on mission. God was already working and had orchestrated the bits and brought them together. And as they finished up, they said, "We have a word from God for you, and it's Psalm 103. And they sat and read the psalm out aloud. And as they read these words of forgiveness and the Father's love, this man, Ishvan, stood there and he wept on the street. God is on a mission. God wants to connect with his broken world. And the invitation is, will you come and will you join me? For when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore you should go, he means it. The invitation is there, friends. It's not a whisper. It's not vague. It's clear. It's the Great Commission. We walk past it as it's written on the walls of this church. It's the main thing that Jesus is calling us to. Jesus said, all authority. And for the early church, that meant that Jesus was Lord. And that was the early church creed. One of the earliest creeds that we find in the early church was this simple statement, three words: Jesus is Lord. And so when they were being asked to make offerings to the Emperor Caesar in Caesar worship, they said, "I can't, Jesus is Lord." And many of them got killed for their faith. When they were walking past the temples of Artemis and Zeus and all these massive Greek gods that dominated the villages and the cities, they actually said, "Jesus is Lord." When we walk around our city of Melbourne, when we walk around our nation of Australia, when commercialism and capitalism reign supreme, what's the thing on our lips? One thing that we understand is when Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me," that he invites us into his mission, that the first thing that we're to do is that we're to pray. Because I can't do this. We're to join with Jesus. Our resource is the same resource that the 11 disciples had on that mountain. They had no budget. They had no structure. But they had one thing, and that was Jesus standing in front of them. And Jesus taught us how to pray. And he said, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done." This is how you should pray. Invite the kingdom of God to come into your world. Invite the kingdom of God to come right where you are. Invite the kingdom of God to come to all ethne, to all people groups. This is how you should pray. And the same resource that was in front of those 11 disciples stands in front of us today as he invites us to participate in his mission. If we rely on ourselves, we fail. But if we rely on him, we learn to pray, we tap into his authority. There's one thing that you can do. First thing, a number of things actually, but the first thing is that you can learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. These are not just idle words. As we look at our own prayer life, as we start to look at our own engagement with this Lord of the universe, what's your prayer life been like? How are you praying? The greatest tragedy for us is not unanswered prayer. It's unoffered prayer. Our greatest disappointment is not that God is silent. It's that we are silent. And there's an invitation from God as we start to engage with this Lord of heaven and earth, and says, "Come on, I want you to pray. I want you to get involved." There's invitation of heaven into his mission. And I can hear it as he teaches the Lord's Prayer. And he says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." And he repeats it. And he says, "Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be answered." Opened. Prayer. Learn how to pray. "Therefore," he said, "because I have all authority, you are to go." It's like as you go. Someone once said, every time you read in the Bible, there's a therefore, you should read why it's therefore. Therefore, go. Why? Because he is risen. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, on this basis, as we see him for who he is, he commissions us out into the world. Therefore, you should go. All of us are called to go. Make sure you do. Make sure, having gone, as you go, that you go out into all the world, into your family, into your community, those who are called into other nations. Go. Go. Obey Jesus. Go. The main emphasis of this command is, as you go, make disciples. Make disciples. And we're just going to touch on that briefly later. Giving is a really good way of participating in going. Giving into mission, giving into the kingdom's purpose. Make sure that your primary investment in life is the kingdom of Jesus. Jesus said, and it is quoted in the book of Acts, to say, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And this is not just a platitude or a good thought. There's a promise of blessing that comes to you as you give. But I'm not going to trick you right now and say, if you give, you're going to get rich. No, far from it. If you give, you're going to give your resources into God's kingdom. But the blessing that happens is that something changes inside of us. As we start to invest in something, that something becomes very real to us and important to us. Jesus says, make sure you make for yourselves treasures in heaven. Paul says to Timothy, there are many people who are rich. Make sure they don't get confident in their riches. Let themselves invest into treasures in heaven. And we are one of the richest nations in the world. There's only one other nation that's richer than us per capita in the world, and that's Switzerland. So as a nation, we are really rich. And the question is, where is our heart? For where our treasure is, there our heart is also. So we're called to invest and to pray and to give of our resources. And one of the best ways that you can buy into the kingdom is to buy into the kingdom. Give your resources there. Because as you start to give there, your heart becomes attached and in your priorities shift. Jesus becomes Lord and his kingdom becomes where your treasure is. And you start to pour yourself in. Give generously. Give generously. Because you want to have an investment that's going to last forever. You want an out of this world return for your investment. Amen? And so you're called. And Jesus says, come on. I want my kingdom is the overriding kingdom here. And I'm inviting you that the privilege of giving, the blessing of giving. It's not that I'm giving poor, poor me. When you give of your resources, you give and suddenly God pours into you stuff and your heart shifts. Your heart reprioritizes itself around Jesus and the kingdom. Learn how to give generously. And so when the church is inviting you to give into mission, give into mission. Give generously because you're called to pour your life into this one overwhelming, overriding commission when Jesus says, all authority. Therefore, I want you to do this. The invitation is that the mission of God becomes your mission. If you invest into stocks, you find yourself watching those stocks. You feel good when the stocks go up. You start to feel bad when the stocks go down. If you invest into where God is working, you start to pray for that. You start to carry that burden. You start to live your life. We become shareholders. And Jesus says, all nations. I want you to go into all nations. And for all of us, for every believer, the Great Commission is both local and it's global. It's not a binary equation. It's not an either or. You're not called to just think of the nations. You know, the Western Church for generations have thought of the word missions and they've thought out there, long way away, different nations. And even today, as we start to think of missions, we start to think out there. And it's not just out there and it's not just here. It's both and. We are called to a global and a local mission. So when Jesus calls us to go, where to go? To our families. Where to go? Into our workplaces. Where to go? Into all those who belong to you. And Peter says this in Acts chapter 2, when he's talking about the salvation that was given. He says, this is for you, for your family, for all those that belong to you, and for those who are far off. Wow. Three things. The salvation that Jesus has offered is for you, for your whole, all those who belong to you. Think in your mind, who belongs to me? Think of your world, your workmates, your friends, your family, your uncle, your auntie, your cousin, all those that belong to you. This salvation is there for them. And it's for all those who are far off. It's for every nation, for every people group, all nations. God's vision is for the whole earth. He settles for nothing less than every ethne. He said to Habakkuk, look at the nations, watch, be utterly amazed. I'm going to do something new in your days that you would not believe even if you are told. And later on in Habakkuk 2, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How on earth was God going to fulfill and this prophecy to Habakkuk? Here he was standing with 11 disciples. And the task that Crossway has is this, make disciples that multiply. That's how the nations are going to fulfill. Baptize them, Jesus says. Immerse them into Jesus. Immerse them into his death and his resurrection. Immerse them into relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey. Wow, I could talk for hours on this one little subject. Teach them to obey. Unfortunately, I've only got a little time. Obedience is often the great omission for the Great Commission. We forget to teach people how to obey. And we usually end up just teaching people like I'm doing this morning. And hopefully you will obey. But Jesus actually said it differently. He said, teach them to obey. Obedience is the heart of what it is to be a disciple. A disciple says, I don't know how to live this life. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have my act together. That's why we need salvation. That's why we need transformation. All of us do. It's only the proud person that says they don't. And so Jesus says, that's okay. Come follow me. Learn to obey me. Take my yoke, which is light and easy. Obey me. Let me just say these three things. No obedience, no transformation. No obedience, no multiplication. No obedience, no disciple. If we have not learnt obedience, we will not have transformation, multiplication, and disciples. Obedience is the heart of this great commission as he says, go and make disciples, baptize them into me, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Wow. I want to finish by saying, just calling us to this one little word that I see in the book, in Hebrew language. It's called hanini. I've just come across it recently and I've gone, wow, what a great word. You see, when you call someone, hey, John, John might turn around and he might be doing something. He says, yeah, what do you want? And hanini is a response where you call somebody, they drop everything, they leave what they are doing, they come and they come to you and they say, I'm yours. I'm completely yours. Until you finish with me, I'm 100% yours. I've dropped everything. You have my attention. What can I do for you? It's a fantastic word. I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to submit. You have 100% of my attention. I'm here until you finish with me. When Abraham was called by God to go sacrifice Isaac, God said, Abraham. And Abraham said, hanini, here I am. And it's almost like a bold proclamation. Behold, here I am. You have me. What do you want, God? I'm 100% yours. When God called Moses in the burning bush, the Lord said, Moses, Moses. And in their English it says, Moses replied, here I am. The word he uses is Moses says, hanini, here I am. I'm yours. What do you want to do with me? When God called the young boy Samuel, three times he called him before Samuel was finally listening. Samuel finally responded and he says, hanini, I'm listening. Here I am. Hundreds of years later, God will reveal himself to the prophet Isaiah as the Lord enthroned, surrounded by angels, amazing vision of who Jesus was, the Gospel of John says. And finally, the Lord says, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, hanini, here I am. You have all of me. You've been hearing of the Great Commission through stories from Dorinda and Simon. We've been hearing today of the Great Commission, the overriding task that is for every believer, the invitation that says, God says, I am on mission. Will you join me? Hopefully it hasn't been just a whisper, a gentle breeze. Hopefully it's been like the roaring wind that we see in Acts chapter 2 of Pentecost. The invasion of the Spirit of God that says, I want you to listen. And hopefully, if God was to call your name today, what would you do? We hear the Father leaning over and saying, do you see what I'm doing? Will you join with me? And if there is no response, he simply goes to the next person and he invites them. What's your response going to be? What if God was going to call your name today? Are you ready to offer yourself without even knowing what it might be? We don't have to wait till we hear an audible voice. We can just report for duty and say, like the great men and women of faith, here I am, Lord. You have me, 100%. Thank you.